Mr. President, members of the board, my fellow delegates, aloha. For those of you that don't know me, I am Joseph W. McGuire. I'm a resident of Howard County and live outside the city of Laurel, Maryland. Currently, I'm employed by the Veterans Administration as a computer programmer. Since 1972, I've been engaged in a series of investigations in the various areas of psionics. Among these areas have been radionics, dowsing, pyramid and cone power. Today I would like to share with you some of the results of my investigations into cone power, specifically the mathematics of cone design. During the course of investigating cone power, it became necessary for me to develop a set of predictive tools with regard to cones. What I was looking for was a means to determine various technical data about cone prior to building it or to acquiring materials for it, especially since some of the cones that I wanted to build would have identical or nearly identical characteristics. In 1976, a partial solution to my problem was provided by Dr. Patrick Flanagan by the publication of his book, Beyond Pyramid Power. Using the information provided by Dr. Flanagan and my training in mathematics in the fields of algebra, geometry, and trigonometry, I developed the following set of 12 formulas to cover four basic areas of cone design, primarily physical characteristics, material requirements, and various construction measurements, as well as an area for certain measurements and information regarding two pyramid experiments. For the most part, these formulas come from standard geometry, trigonometry. They're an application of certain information that are necessary for you for knowing about cones. Okay. In order to design a proper cone, the designer needs two basic pieces of information to begin with. First of all, he must know the diameter, the base of his cone, and secondly, the slope of the side, the angle at which your cone is going to be formatted. The drawings in this presentation will all be in cross-section when they are of this nature for cones. Okay. To begin with, our first formula relates to the radius of your finished cone. Radius, of course, is being half the diameter. In this case, the radius of our finished cone is going to be 0.5 times b, where b is the factor of your base, as shown here in the diagram. Now, if I go a little fast, don't worry if you don't get anything. I have a handout for you later that will be right there at the door if you're interested in picking one up. Okay. Now, next area of information that I was looking for was the area that would be occupied by the base of the finished cone. This is utilizing the standard formula of pi times the radius, the square of the radius. We have the radius of our finished cone is pi times the square of 0.5b quantity squared. All right. Okay. The next area of information that I was looking for is the length of the side of this of your finished cone. Here I utilized the formula provided by Dr. Flanagan in his book for the radius divided by the cosine of the angle, the slope of the side of your pyramid. This particular measurement you will be seeing later, as it also relates to the material requirements data. Next area of information I was looking for is the height. How high is this cone going to be? In order to determine that, I needed to utilize the length of the side, the radius of the base of the cone, and apply the sum of the squares law, which states that the length of the side of a right triangle is equal to the sum of the square of the base times the height, base plus the height, I'm sorry, square of the base plus the height. And to get the final value, the height of the finished cone becomes the square root of the square of the length of the side minus the square of the radius of the cone. Finally, you have the formula for the volume of the finished cone, which, of course, is the standard volume formula for cones, which is pi times the square of the radius times the height of the finished cone of this entire factor divided by 3. Now, with these preceding formulas, it becomes possible to describe what the space, size, and volume of your cone is going to be. And in conducting various experiments, you need to determine beforehand, am I going to build a rowboat in the basement and not be able to get it out of the basement? And that's primarily what these particular formulas serve, and being able to describe what this thing is going to look like when you're done. I'll give you a reasonable approximation. Next set of formulas relate to the material requirements for your cone. Now, these are based on the idea that the material you've chosen to use is a material that can be formed as a single shape. That means that you've got something like cardboard, plastic, or sheet metal, something of that nature. And this requires basically a circle from which to make your cone. Now, first formula we have in this particular category relates to the radius of the cone. Turns out that this is also the length of the side of the cone, which of course is the radius, or 0.5b, divided by the cosine of your angle A, which is the angle of slope of your side. The next formula I have B being the diameter and the radius. Okay, 0.5b is the radius.
Oh, this is the radius of the blank of the cone.
Of the finished cone. This is also the radius. This is the radius of the finished cone. It is before you're finished. Okay. Alrighty. Now, our next formula is the diameter. How big is this original circle going to be that you're going to have to cut out? Certain limitations of the ability to mark, perhaps cut, or shape your circle to begin with can be answered by knowing the diameter, which of course is twice that of the radius. In this case, it's 0.5b divided by cosine A times 2. Now, final question that you need to ask about materials and how do these relate is how much of this substance, whether it's plastic, cardboard, whatever, am I going to need in order to build this thing? And this is answered through the use of the area formula, which is pi times the square of the radius. In this case, 0.5b divided by cosine A. Now, in order to make a cone, what has to be done with this original material that you're working with is that a pie-shaped wedge has to be removed from it. And in order to remove that pie-shaped wedge, you have to either measure the angle of that wedge, and that can be determined by the use of this formula, 360 minus the quantity 360 times the cosine A. This will give you the angle that has to be taken out of this cone in order to produce a cone of the given dimensions that you have chosen to begin with. Now, I found it very difficult to measure angles and much more convenient to measure distances, and devised this particular variation in order to solve the problem of how to measure distance versus an distance rather than an angle. Now, what it's done is to take the angle that you have determined as your pie-shaped wedge, divide that in half, and in effect make a right triangle out of it. By doing that, you can apply sine function of half of your big angle, the pie-shaped wedge, by taking the sine of half of the angle of your pie-shaped wedge, multiplying that by the radius of the circle, you come up with a distance which is half the distance needed to measure off in order to cut, to determine where to cut out the edges of your pie-shaped wedge. Multiply that by 2, and you have the total distance that's necessary in order to complete this. Now, the pyramid power experiments that have been reported by many researchers over the years have indicated the need for placing your materials to be treated within the pyramid at what is called the height of the king's chamber, which is approximately one-third the distance of the height for the total structure. Now, in this case, for your finished cone, you take the height of the finished cone, as described in the previous formulas, and divide that by 3 to give you the distance in question. And you can use this, as I said, you can use this for your pyramid power experiments. Additionally, Dr. Flanagan, in his book, Beyond Pyramid Power, reported a phenomenon called a critical energy ratio, in that an item to be treated within the confines of the pyramid structure had to be either equal to or less than 5% of the volume of the structure in order to get the maximum effect for treatment or dehydration purposes. And in this case, you take the volume, of course, the volume of your finished cone and multiply it by 0.05 in order to achieve that volume figure, so that you can determine what items are either suitable by their size or not to be placed within the confines of the pyramid, the experiment cone. Now, here we have a recap to show you listing of the various formulas that provide you with information for working with cones. Your radius of your finished cone is equal to half that of the base that you've chosen beforehand. The area of your finished cone, area of the base of your finished cone, is equal to pi times the square of the radius, or pi times quantity 0.5b squared. The length of the side of your finished cone is equal to 0.5b divided by the cosine of A, A being the angle, the slope of the side that you already chose beforehand. Height of your finished cone, forgot the square root sign, but should be the square root of the quantity 0.5b squared divided by cosine quantity squared minus 0.5b squared. the volume of your finished cone is equal to the area of the finished cone times the height divided by 3. Okay. The radius of your original circle for your materials requirements is 0.5b divided by cosine A. Your diameter of your circle from which you're making your cone is twice the radius, or 2 times quantity 0.5b divided by cosine A. Area of your original circle is pi times your radius, times the square of your radius, 0.5b divided by cosine A, quantity squared. The angle of your pi-shaped wedge for making a cone, again, is 360 degrees minus the quantity, 360 times cosine A. And the length of your chord for your original circle is equal to 2 times the quantity, the multiplication of the sine of half your angle times your radius. And then again, you have your pyramid power measurements for the height of the king's chamber being 1/3 that of the height of your finished cone, the critical energy ratio being half, 0.05 times the volume of your finished cone. Now, does anybody have any questions or anything? Yes, sir. You can use that area that you have to cut out as your overlap area. What's important is that the edges of that pie-shaped wedge be joined. And when they're joined, that forms the shape of your finished cone. These formulas can be as engineeringly accurate as you want them to be. Any calculus... as accurate as possible. Especially if you're doing a model pyramid experiment. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do. The advantage of using a cone over the pyramid is that a cone is basically made up of a shape with an infinite number of sides, any one of which at any time is always pointed in the direction of magnetic north, which is apparently the critical factor in utilizing pyramids for dehydration purposes and other experiments. Yes, sir.
I made several pyramids over Garden, and I don't take anything in consideration. I did 2 feet of the water pipe and used the center pole on my lines down, and then run the lines around. I couldn't tell you how long my garden is or how wide it is, and I got a very successful.
Well, the shape itself has resonance, and the more you are towards the four-sided pyramid or multi-sided structure, the better off you are. Well, all I can say is you also have a green thumb, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've not used cones for dehydration purposes. My own interests have been in primarily reconfirming a lot of the work that Vern Cameron has done with cones in terms of energy beams and transmissions thereof.
Would you want to talk about something?
I'd like to save that for next year, but also I do plan to have a little demonstration this, either tomorrow evening or tonight, depending on what's set up for me along those lines. Yes, sir. Materials do not seem to matter. Now, Vern Kammer would say one thing. I've used cardboard cones and gotten the same reaction. His cones were mild orgone accumulators. Pulling the edges together. No, it does not. Yes, sir. Well, you can, Beyond Pyramid Power by Patrick Flanagan, you can, is one that you can look into for dehydration purposes. For general energy capabilities of cones, I recommend the Borderland Science Research publication on the Cameron Orometer, and I might add, Jerry Gallimore's publication on the Handbook of Unusual Energies. These two publications do give information on Vern Cameron's work with cones and what he could do with them. Yes, sir?
When I first started making pyramids, I made them out of cardboard, and I found when I lined them with foil, I got 10 times more energy out of them.
That's because what you did was create and affect an orgone accumulator.
Yes, I understand.
Yes, sir? Thank you. Are there any more inquiries, questions, whatnot? I realize this went a little fast and was a little bit on the technical side, but well, if there are no more questions, I'd like to urge you to follow Dr. Whitehouse's admonition this evening, earlier today, I should say, and get out and try some things. And I'd like to see a few people get out and try some cones. And that's why the purpose of my presentation today, give you the information to go out and do it. Thank you.